This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer, got my partner Wes Durham, and we're live for back-to-back shows. And Wes, it's starting to feel like a routine, man. I'm kind of liking this.
You know, Pack, I think the field's kind of working out all right so far. Show number two on our return here, and lots of good topics, lots of good guests today. We're going to talk to the new Boston College Athletics Director, Pat Kraft, who had his press conference yesterday. And then in the next hour, Amir Sims, who will be a senior forward at Clemson coming up in the fall. Sims elected to return to the Tigers after putting his name into the NBA draft. Not only about his decision to return to Clemson, but I'm curious to know what that whole process was like without being able to actually go to the team facilities and so forth. And he made an earlier decision that they have since extended that deadline into early August. And by the way, DJ Funderburk of NC State is still in the draft of note in the ACC. But I'm interested to talk to Amir about what he found out and also how excited he is to be back with Brad Brownell's team next year as well.
Bryce Jarvis will also join us in hour number two, the pitcher for Duke. And, of course, you got the Major League Baseball amateur draft coming up. We're going to cut it from 40 rounds to 5 this week. 40 to 5.
Wow.
And, of course, Bryce joined us right after he threw the perfect game earlier back in February. So we look forward to all those gentlemen being on. We'll talk about Dabo Swinney's statement from yesterday as well. We got all kinds of topics, but first things first, though, Wes, for all of us that love college football, all of us, big news yesterday by the NCAA laying the groundwork as far as the future goes in terms of July and August. And, again, we were excited about the June 1st green light special. The announcement yesterday, I think, is really good news.
Well, and we said going into the program yesterday, there have been two really good weeks in terms of optimism and encouragement for a college football season to be played in its entirety as we know it. And yesterday, the NCAA Football Oversight Committee, which is chaired by the West Virginia Athletics Director, Shane Lyons, who used to work in the ACC office, again delivered very good news. This Football Oversight Committee's guidelines were established. And to be honest with you, I thought all the elements that coaches and schools were looking for were addressed. And realistically, if you've got a week one game, not a week zero game, a week one game, your team is going to be able to begin about 7 weeks on July the 13th. And I think, Pack, in terms of timing now and the variety of principles that have to be addressed in this, I don't know that college football could have had a better day than to have those guidelines submitted by the Oversight Committee. They'll meet the full membership vote next week, and it'll be all systems go. But I think that the way they set it up certainly addresses the coaches' concerns, facility concerns, and things of that nature as it relates to team meetings, walkthrough situations, strength and conditioning, and just general contact. I thought they did a very nice job of kind of separating all the different processes they're going to have to go through to get ready for a football season.
Well, here's how I read it, Wes. It's business as normal as far as the preparation for your football team until told otherwise. And that's, to me, when I read that yesterday, and here's the breakdown. July 13th is the go date for everybody from that perspective, because week one really is the ACC world that we're talking about, right? The Louisville, NC State, Clemson, Georgia Tech games, and then everybody and their brother of the weekend. But this, to me, is a sign that, hey, here's how we're going to conduct business in college football, and until told otherwise, this is the deal. And to me, as a college football fan, I read that yesterday as, man, that is awesome news. Awesome news.
Yeah, I think the other part, too, is remember, and you said this yesterday a little bit, when this first hit, we heard a lot of opinions from folks, right, about, well, we got to have this, and if we don't have this, we can't have that, and that kind of thing. I heard some coaches say, well, if we don't get 8 weeks, there's no possible way we can have a college football season, right? Well, at the end of the day, you got 7, and 7 is the number you're going to have to work with, and you've gotten that number right now on, what, June the, what is it, 9th? You got it on the 8th, so now all of a sudden you've got 3 weeks to a month to get ready for, you know, what this is going to look like so you can go back and adjust all the schedules. And I think one of the things we're going to have to understand, as unique and as different potentially as 2020's college football season can be at times, what we're going to have to understand is you're going to have to play the cards you've been dealt on this deal. And coaches are the first example. You're going to have to go back and figure out between July 13th, July 19th, whatever the situation is, you're going to have to adjust it all the way out now to make sure you get your team in the best possible situation. Now, Mark, here's the thing I'll ask you about this briefly, too. If this is approved, which I expect it will be next week, what does that mean between now and then, these voluntary workouts and the small groups that we're talking about? I mean, we heard Marvin Wilson yesterday talk about just sheer conditioning, running hills and things like that. How important do you think that's going to be between now and when the organizational stuff starts in mid-July?
I think it's critical. In fact, we've had a number of conversations on the air, off the air, whether it be radio, TV, whatever. And I really thought the most important thing that's going to come out of June is what kind of shape are these guys in? I mean, for the first time since they've been on campus, hey, they went 3 months without any really quote-unquote professional training in terms of their nutrition, workout, strength and conditioning. They had to find means of how do I stay in shape. We talked about that with Marvin yesterday, and he was talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. Just for figuring out a way to stay in shape and, again, hanging out with all those dudes that can flat out run going up hills and driving them nuts. So needless to say, I mean, the health and safety of all these student athletes is priority one. All the tests that are taking place, kids showing up on campus, all that stuff. You know, some folks are in better shape than others. That's just the way it's going to be. Some schools had a chance to have spring practice. Some did not. That's going to come into play. But one thing is a given here, Wes. You know what? You now kind of know what the routine's going to be. We kind of kid around leading off the show. Hey, back-to-back shows going live. We're starting to get into a routine. I mean, these coaches and players, that's what this is all about, a routine. You stay so busy, you don't worry about getting into trouble. It's right there in front of you. That's exactly what the NCAA basically laid out yesterday. To me, like I said, as a fan, man, that is just absolutely perfecto news. That's exactly what you wanted to hear. Now, granted, we got to get to July 13th, right? I mean, who knows what holds for us from June 9 to July 13th, but the fact that student athletes are getting back on campus, they're getting tested. If you got COVID-19, you're being quarantined, et cetera, et cetera. All that is a positive to me that we're kind of getting back into a sync, into a rhythm of a season. And I will go and tell you, too, when we hit and you got the news in the middle of March and everything shut down, for months and months and months, we conducted all these interviews on radio. And I was interviewing coaches from around the country, asking them that question, how much time do you need to get a football team in shape? And it was really interesting to listen to the answers. This is not just an ACC conversation. This is across the board. And you got anything from, hey, you know what? If we only were allowed 4 weeks, we could probably make it work. Some guys said, man, give me 8 weeks. You know, you want to take the max. I get all that stuff. But anywhere, I think, from 4 to 8 weeks, I think is a doable for everybody. The fact that you're going to get 6 to 7, I don't think anybody can complain about it. Nobody.
I agree with you on that. I think that your numbers are right in that if you got 7 weeks and there were some, I didn't hear much more than 8. Now, you may have heard somebody say more than that, but I didn't hear anything higher than 8 weeks from any of the coaches who spoke during the process of the early stages of the pandemic. Here's the other piece about this, too. And by the way, we're kind of teasing the show here. Louis Corrala, who is the strength and conditioning, runs strength and conditioning for Georgia Tech football here in the Atlanta area, is going to join us later in the week. I think one of the things we can investigate with him is what do you tell these guys? You know, what have they been able to do? What have you, how virtually have you been able to kind of stay in contact with them? I mean, we've seen guys push trucks, carry, you know, water jugs, bench press water jugs, whatever the case may be. But the preparation for a college football season, you know, and I think you just touched on this. The normalcy, as normal as you can get it, is going to be the key here. And I'll say this. I think that you got to go back and defer to teams. They've got a veteran presence about them now. I mean, how much is that leadership? I mean, we talked to Marvin Wilson about a lot of things yesterday, but leadership being one of them. How important is that leadership going to be between now and mid-July for some of these football teams? Likewise, what's it mean to a Mike Norvell's first year at Tallahassee, Jeff Hafley's first year at Boston College? What's it mean to Chase Bryce taking snaps at Duke for David Cutcliffe and that crowd? Then you look at some individual situations, you know, and the testing that's going on. And I thought Vince Tyree in the primetime show last week gave us some really good intel on that too, Mark. the excitement and the energy and the interest to be back. Yeah, we're all concerned about health and safety. But at the same time, the momentum and the adrenaline of normal is going to be, I think, a really, really pivotal piece in the return of college football and quite frankly, in the return of sports period in our country, I think.
I haven't talked to anybody yet that hasn't said these kids getting back on campus, being amongst their brothers, their coaches, their friends, the guys they compete against. Is it the best case scenario? Now, again, I know there could be some people like, man,
right,
with COVID-19 going on, man, they need to stay home. I haven't heard that from come on, man. Everybody I've spoken to said the quicker these guys can get back on campus and be part of, again, the routine, the ritual, the workouts, the studying of film, being with your buds. I mean, that whole chemistry issue, which always comes into play. I mean, what kind of team do you have? Incoming freshmen who can have an impact. Again, I will just emphasize the news yesterday from the NCAA ties all of this together. And to me, it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure any of us in the middle of March or at any point in time in April really thought that, hey, by the time we get to June, are we going to be okay? I think we're going to be okay. I really do.
Well, here's the other part about this, and I know this will come up at some point in the next couple of days, so I guess if you want to say this is Wes's teaser to you about what you may hear, not every campus and not every conference is going to be able to do this at the same time, okay? This virus has created ebbs and flows all over our country. I mean, you don't have to be a member of the WHO to figure out the stats and all the differentials in this. So the number of players, the number of student athletes, period, on campuses is going to vary from day to day. Some schools, even in the ACC footprint, are going to return at different intervals here. And that means student athletes are going to return at different intervals. So will it be equitable? Probably not. But that's, again, part of the uniqueness and I think the difference of this 2020 football season too, Mark.
Well, it's not going to be equal. I mean, you know what? And neither are teams. And you could go back even to spring practices of some teams that had at least a couple practices and so forth. Some had none. So, you know, you can't you can't change the past, Wes. So you got to figure out, hey, how do we get better given the guidelines provided? Well, the NCAA just did that for you yesterday. And I guarantee you every single coach, whether we're talking about the ACC, SEC, or all the way out to the Pac-12 or anywhere in between, took a look at that info yesterday and said, okay, great. We've had 25 different options on our table about how we're going to address this season. Now they've given us the guidelines. Man, let me get rid of 95% of this stuff. Here's what we're going to work on. So to me, this was a joyous amount of information. Again, I just hope from a health standpoint that we can get everybody in the right spot to participate in Greenlight Special July 13th. That's what I'm hoping for.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Obviously, we got Patrick Kraft, the new athletic director at Boston College, coming up here in about 15 minutes. We'll look forward to that conversation. A couple guests in hour number two. Wes, as you pointed out, Amir Sims returning to Clemson basketball, and Bryce Jarvis, pitcher for Duke, who's looking to hear his name be called this week, which will be good. Echo. You doing all right?
I got you. Hey. Yeah, you're good. Hey, okay. This is the part of the program before we get to this real quick, okay?
I love it.
Can we be transparent about, you know, you and me doing this show and you're in the basement and I'm in metropolitan Cartersville, Georgia and so forth? Can we just, you know, be honest that there're going to be a few bumps and, you know, as good as Jen and Drew and Josh and all these folks are helping us get ready, and Shia, Ryan, Leah, everybody who's done this unbelievable job, you know, there are going to be a bump or two here along the way, right, in the return of Packer and Durham. So every once in a while you may get an echo, you may get a hot mic, you may get a bright light, those kind of things. We just, you know, we want to be obvious. We want to be honest about our approach here, right, Pack?
Well, speak for yourself. It's perfect here in the basement. There are no problems over here in the basement. Hey, we've done 146 of these bad boys. We've got it figured out in my basement. Now, Cartersville, hey, all bets are off in Cartersville, man. I don't know what's going on in Cartersville. All right, let's talk a little football. We got great guests coming up. We'll talk about the Dabo Sweeney tape that came out yesterday. That's all going to be it. We'll take your calls and all that stuff. But you mentioned the pressure on first-year head coaches. There's two in the ACC. We're talking about college football right now. And there's no doubt that if you're Boston College and Florida State, you are working behind the eight ball a little bit here. I mean, this is a different lay of the land for two guys that are really trying to figure out. Now, again, they've got experience. They know what they're doing as a head coach. But first go around for BC, what Jeff Hafley's now had to inherit. And obviously Mike Norvell's already kind of been through the fire a little bit even this past week. And, again, I thought they figured that thing out brilliantly. But those two guys in particular, Wes, I think do have a little bit of a steeper curve to figure out in terms of, hey, what does this league look like? I mean, Jeff Hafley got a taste of it when he was at Ohio State when they lost to Clemson in the Fiesta Bowl. So he kind of knows that animal. Mike Norvell, I mean, he's got to be sitting there going, hey, Florida State, I know about the tradition and the history. We want to get back to being elite status. But he really needs to get a handle on what does this league look like. So I think both those coaches, without a doubt, and I think they'll both be quick studies and figure it out. But both of them go into this season further behind than everybody else in that department.
Well, I think there's a couple things that got stymied here. Some you can overcome, one you can't, okay? The thing you cannot overcome if you're Mike Norvell or Jeff Hafley is just the simple reps of your program, your installation, what it looks like in a practice field, what it looks like in a, quote, spring game environment or scrimmages and that kind of thing, okay? The reality of your depth chart is stymied at this point. You're going to have to sort that out in pretty quick fashion. The thing that you can overcome, the thing that you can get grips of, are the pillars and the foundations of your program. And I think in Florida State's case, we saw that last week. I think Jeff Hafley has put some of that already in motion. We're just not as exposed or familiar with what some of that is. I mean, all in or get in and all those type slogans are fine. But what goes on within the walls of the football complex at Chestnut Hill, that's for him to tell us about as we get closer to kickoff in September. I think in terms of scheduling, you know, Boston College is going to have some challenges. The quarterback situation, Grossell finished up the end of the year after the injury to Anthony Brown, the Notre Dame transfers, all the things that are elements there. They were not very good on defense a year ago at times. They've got to be better there. David Bailey's going to have to run the ball for Boston College when you start looking at kind of who they are. And then you see this schedule. Syracuse right out of the gate. You want a hungry football team. You see the road trip to at home, Clemson at home, Louisville at home. Pac, I look at BC. You probably ought to get it done early because the back end is not a layup either, you know. But I think Jeff Hafley is a little bit more the unknown than Mike Norvell is at this point in some respects on that side.
Well, I think it's so just from a talent standpoint, and I don't mean that to be disrespectful to Boston College. But, you know, in Florida State, I kind of think they know who their quarterback is. They've gone through some adversity with this football team, which I thought they did a great job, as I mentioned, kind of figuring out a way to make this a win-win proposition. I think there's a chip on the shoulder at Tallahassee about getting back to being one of those kind of teams. And I think there's a pressure on Florida State to be good, not only internally, but also from the league's perspective. We've talked about this almost ad nauseum, that Florida State, the Miamis, and the Virginia Techs need to step up and become relevant from that perspective. So I think there's a higher expectation level in Tallahassee. I think in Boston College, Jeff Hafley, again, first time as a head coach in this position, is going to inherit a team that's going to be playing as an underdog role in many weekends. So, again, I think expectation levels are totally different here. But the fact that both of these coaches will have to get a feel for the league, that, you know, there's only one way for that to happen, and that's to go play some games.
Well, the other part, too, is because of the way this has all come about, you got to believe that a first-year coach also, there's an understanding across the board, and you would hope it there's an understanding in the fan base, although I think that'd be a little more difficult to digest in Tallahassee than maybe it would be at Chestnut Hill. You bought yourself some time here. This is not an easy way to start a program. Now, with Norvell, and I think you mentioned this right, the talent base is the differential here. I mean, he's got, golly, you got a first-round pick in the defensive line. You might have a first-round pick in the secondary. And Nazrul Dean, you may have a first- or second-round pick at wide receiver in Tamari and Terry. the real question with Florida State, Pack, is the one we had going into last year. Amazingly, isn't it? I mean, for what we know that Mike Norvell's going to do strategically, offense and defense, for me, the question is still the same. Are they going to be better in the offensive line? And right now, I think that's the fair question.
Well, it's a fair question, and none of us have the answer. That includes, I would assume, Mike Norvell, who would love to get his guys finally together and find out, all right, well, let's see what we've got here. And, you know, to me, that's kind of the fun part as a fan. I mean, you can sit there and read all your magazines or think you got the inside track and all that stuff, and we don't know anything yet, right? And again, the health issue is the other issue. I mean, you hope everybody, for the most part, is healthy, but Florida State, right out of the gate, West by God, Virginia, right there in your backyard of the ATL, that's a good test. I mean, I had a chance to talk to Neil Brown a couple weeks ago. They feel good about where they're headed. And for Florida State, again, it's a good old-fashioned Bobby Bowden special, right? Florida State, West Virginia, right out of the gate. I think that road trip to Boise on September the 19th is a big deal. And, of course, NC State has always seemingly been kind of a thorn for Florida State in Raleigh, and not to mention the Clemson game. So, I mean, that first month, you're going to have a pretty good handle on Florida State, in my opinion.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And I think the other thing, too, is that the leadership we talked about in the first segment now all of a sudden becomes something that you can really build with. And Marvin Wilson will be part of that. I thought he talked about Cooper and some of these other guys. Look, Nasruddin, Tamari, and Terry, they're all going to be asked to do more to make Florida State a better football team this year. And I think that Mike Norvell can use some of the momentum gained here, especially in the last week, to potentially help drive this football team. And I think you said it right a moment ago. They may have come out of this situation stronger than they would have been had they not had that experience last week as a football team. And that may help them against that schedule, Pack. You know, going to Boise early is not going to be easy. By the way, and I know this is a topic down the road for us, these neutral site games are going to be pretty interesting to see how they play out, don't you think? Well, I mean, those neutral site games are built on having people, don't you think?
Yes, that would be correct. The other thing, too, is I think from an ACC football perspective, again, we're going to say this without knowing anything, really, because we haven't seen anybody play, practice, anything else. We kind of know what Clemson is, right? We're going to put those guys over here for a second. For the rest of the conference, Wes, I think of teams like, again, Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech, North Carolina in particular, those four. You think about who they're going to have to play early in the season. North Carolina's got UCF and Auburn. We talked to Mac Brown last week, and he kidded around about, well, there's some conversation, maybe we don't play non-conference games. And Mac was like, man, that sounds like a good idea for me. I don't have to deal with those guys. But, you know, those are going to be two great tests for Sam Howell in North Carolina with everybody coming back. For North Carolina to kind of place their flag and say, guess what? We're top 20 team. You're going to have to deal with us. Florida State, we just went through the schedule. West Virginia at Boise State. Two non-conference games that if Florida State's going to get back to being Florida State, hey, that's got to be a WW. Those will be tests. Virginia Tech, we're waiting on the Hokies, right? Well, they got big, bad Penn State coming to town early. Miami's got a game against Michigan State. I know Sparty's got a new coach, but those are four teams in the ACC with games against non-conference competition early. Talking about the first month of the season, where all four of them, if they're going to join the conversation of being, hey, we are legit top 25 programs, those are the kind of games you have to win. Anybody can schedule them, even though the ACC has done a nice job in scheduling them. But for the conference to get back in the national conversation, you have to start winning those kind of games.
By the way, you want to throw Virginia and Georgia up there too, just for fun, so we can lay that one on there?
No doubt. But that's all part of what I'm talking about. You know, again, I've got one team I'm putting over here. Now I've got a handful of others that need to be good. And the only way you get national credibility is to beat somebody of note. And, you know, you can give me all the cool slogans and mottos and videos and all that stuff and new uniforms and, hey, we got the stadiums painted different. All that sounds great. But the only way to get respect is to beat people of note. It's the only way to do it. Only way.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
The great thing about facts? They're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Obviously, we got Patrick Kraft, the new athletic director at Boston College, coming up here in about 15 minutes. We look forward to that conversation. A couple guests in hour number two. Wes, as you pointed out, Amir Sims returning to Clemson basketball, and Bryce Jarvis, pitcher for Duke, who's looking to hear his name be called this week, which will be good.
Echo.
You doing all right?
I got you. Hey. Yeah, you're good. Hey, okay, this is the part of the program. Before we get to this, real quick, okay?
I love it.
Can we be transparent about, you know, you and me doing this show, and you're in the basement, and I'm in metropolitan Cartersville, Georgia, and so forth? Can we just, you know, be honest that there are going to be a few bumps, and, you know, as good as Jen and Drew and Josh and all these folks are helping us get ready, and Shia, Ryan, Leah, everybody who's done this unbelievable job. You know, there are going to be a bump or two here along the way, right, in the return of Packer and Durham. So every once in a while, you may get an echo, you may get a hot mic, you may get a bright light, those kind of things. We just, you know, we want to be obvious. We want to be honest about our approach here, right, Pack?
Well, speak for yourself. It's perfect here in the basement. There are no problems over here in the basement. Hey, we've done 146 of these bad boys. We've got it figured out in my basement. Now, Cartersville, hey, all bets are off in Cartersville, man. I don't know what's going on in Cartersville. All right, let's talk a little football. We've got great guests coming up. We'll talk about the Dabo Sweeney tape that came out yesterday. That's all going to be it. We'll take your calls and all that stuff. But you mentioned the pressure on first-year head coaches. There's two in the ACC. We're talking about college football
right
now. And there's no doubt that if you're Boston College and Florida State, you are working behind the eight ball a little bit here. I mean, this is a different lay of the land for two guys that are really trying to figure out. Now, again, they've got experience. They know what they're doing as a head coach. But first go around for BC, what Jeff Hafley's now had to inherit. And obviously, Mike Norvell's already kind of been through the fire a little bit even this past week. And, again, I thought they figured that thing out brilliantly. But those two guys in particular, Wes, I think do have a little bit of a steeper curve to figure out in terms of, hey, what does this league look like? I mean, Jeff Hafley got a taste of it when he was at Ohio State when they lost to Clemson in the Fiesta Bowl, so he kind of knows that animal. Mike Norvell, I mean, he's got to be sitting there going, hey, Florida State, I know about the tradition and the history. We want to get back to being elite status. But he really needs to get a handle on what does this league look like. So I think both those coaches, without a doubt, and I think they'll both be quick studies and figure it out, but both of them go into this season further behind than everybody else in that department.
Well, I think there's a couple things that got stymied here. Some you can overcome, one you can't, okay? The thing you cannot overcome if you're Mike Norvell or Jeff Hafley is just the simple reps of your program, your installation, what it looks like in a practice field, what it looks like in a, quote, spring game environment or scrimmages and that kind of thing, okay? The reality of your depth chart is stymied at this point. You're going to have to sort that out in pretty quick fashion. The thing that you can overcome, the thing that you can get grips of, are the pillars and the foundations of your program. And I think in Florida State's case, we saw that last week. I think Jeff Hafley has put some of that already in motion. We're just not as exposed or familiar with what some of that is. I mean, all in or get in and all those type slogans are fine, but what goes on within the walls of the football complex at Chestnut Hill, that's for him to tell us about as we get closer to kickoff in September. I think in terms of scheduling, you know, Boston College is going to have some challenges. The quarterback situation, Grossell finished up the end of the year after the injury to Anthony Brown, the Notre Dame transfers, all the things that are elements there. They were not very good on defense a year ago at times. They've got to be better there. David Bailey's going to have to run the ball for Boston College when you start looking at at kind of who they are, and then you see this schedule. Syracuse right out of the gate, you want a hungry football team. You see the road trip to at home, Clemson at home, Louisville at home. Pack, I look at BC, you probably ought to get it done early because the back end is not a layup either, you know. But I think Jeff Hafley is a little bit more the unknown than Mike Norvell is at this point in some respects on that side.
Well, I think so, just from a talent standpoint, and I don't mean that to be disrespectful to Boston College, but, you know, in Florida State, I kind of think they know who their quarterback is. They've gone through some adversity with this football team, which I thought they did a great job, as I mentioned, kind of figuring out a way to make this a win-win proposition. I think there's a chip on the shoulder in Tallahassee about getting back to being one of those kind of teams, and I think there's a pressure on Florida State to be good, not only internally, but also from the league's perspective. We've talked about this almost ad nauseum, that Florida State, the Miamis, and the Virginia Techs need to step up and become relevant from that perspective. So I think there's a higher expectation level in Tallahassee. I think in Boston College, Jeff Hafley, again, first time as a head coach in this position, is going to inherit a team that's going to be playing as an underdog role in many weekends. So, again, I think expectation levels are totally different here. But the fact that both of these coaches will have to get a feel for the league, that, you know, there's only one way for that to happen, and that's to go play some games.
Well, the other part, too, is because of the way this has all come about, you got to believe that a first-year coach also, there's an understanding across the board, and you would hope it there's an understanding in the fan base, although I think that'd be a little more difficult to digest in Tallahassee than maybe it would be at Chestnut Hill. You bought yourself some time here. This is not an easy way to start a program. Now, with Norvell, and I think you mentioned this right, the talent base is the differential here. I mean, he's got, golly, you got a first-round pick in the defensive line. You might have a first-round pick in the secondary. And Nazrul Dean, you may have a first- or second-round pick at wide receiver. And Tamarian Terry. The real question with Florida State, Pack, is the one we had going into last year, amazingly, isn't it? I mean, for what we know that Mike Norvell's going to do strategically, offense and defense, for me, the question is still the same. Are they going to be better in the offensive line? And right now, I think that's the fair question.
Well, it's a fair question, and none of us have the answer. That includes, I would assume, Mike Norvell, who would love to get his guys finally together and find out, all right, let's see what we've got here. And, you know, to me, that's kind of the fun part as a fan. And when you can sit there and read all your magazines or think you got the inside track and all that stuff, man, we don't know anything yet, right? The health issue is the other issue. I mean, you hope everybody for the most part is healthy, but Florida State right out of the gate, West by God, Virginia, right there in your backyard of the ATL. That's a good test. I mean, I had a chance to talk to Neil Brown a couple weeks ago. They feel good about where they're headed. And for Florida State, again, it's a good old fashioned Bobby Bowden special, right? Florida State, West Virginia, right out of the gate. I think that road trip to Boise on September the 19th is a big deal. And of course, NC State is always seemingly been kind of a thorn for Florida State in Raleigh, and not to mention the Clemson game. So, I mean, that first month, you're going to have a pretty good handle on Florida State, in my opinion.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And I think the other thing, too, is that the leadership we talked about in the first segment now all of a sudden becomes something that you can really build with. And Marvin Wilson will be part of that. I thought he talked about Cooper and some of these other guys that – look, Nazrul Dean, Tamarian Terry, they're all going to be asked to do more to make Florida State a better football team this year. And I think that Mike Norvell can use some of the momentum gained here, especially in the last week, to potentially help drive this football team. And I think you said it right a moment ago. They may have come out of this situation stronger than they would have been had they not had that experience last week as a football team. And that may help them against that schedule, Pack. You know, going to Boise early is not going to be easy. By the way, and I know this is a topic down the road for us, these neutral site games are going to be pretty interesting to see how they play out, don't you think? Well, I mean, those neutral site games are built on having people, don't you think?
Yes, that would be correct. The other thing, too, is I think from an ACC football perspective, again, we're going to say this without knowing anything, really, because we haven't seen anybody play, practice, anything else. We kind of know what Clemson is, right? We're going to put those guys over here for a second. For the rest of the conference, Wes, I think of teams like, again, Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech, North Carolina in particular. Those four. You think about who they're going to have to play early in the season. North Carolina's got UCF and Auburn. We talked to Mac Brown last week, and he kidded around about, well, there's some conversation, maybe we don't play non-conference games. And Mac was like, man, that sounds like a good idea for me. I don't have to deal with those guys. But, you know, those are going to be two great tests for Sam Howell in North Carolina with everybody coming back. For North Carolina to kind of place their flag and say, guess what? We're a top 20 team. You're going to have to deal with us. Florida State, we just went through the schedule. West Virginia at Boise State. Two non-conference games that if Florida State's going to get back to being Florida State, hey, that's got to be a WW. Mm-hmm. Those will be tests. Virginia Tech, we're waiting on the Hokies, right? Well, they got big, bad Penn State coming to town early. Miami's got a game against Michigan State. I know Sparty's got a new coach, but those are four teams in the ACC with games against non-conference competition early. Talking about the first month of the season, where all four of them, if they're going to join the conversation of being, hey, we are legit top 25 programs, those are the kind of games you have to win. Anybody can schedule them, even though the ACC's done a nice job in scheduling them. But for the conference to get back in the national conversation, you have to start winning those kind of games.
By the way, you want to throw Virginia and Georgia up there too, just for fun, can lay that one on there?
No doubt. But that's all part of what I'm talking about. You know, again, I've got one team I'm putting over here. Now I've got a handful of others that need to be good. And the only way you get national credibility is to beat somebody of note. And, you know, you can give me all the cool slogans and mottos and videos and all that stuff and new uniforms and, hey, we got the stadiums painted different. All that sounds great. But the only way to get respect is to beat people of note. It's the only way to do it. Only way.
Packer and Durham.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Many thanks to Pat Kraft who just joined us. A couple guests coming up in hour number two. Bryce Jarvis, pitcher for Duke, who will be announced early in the MLB amateur draft coming up this week. And Amir Sims from Clemson. All that's coming your way. Dabo Swinney as well. His comments from yesterday. Mm. Take your calls. All that good stuff. But, Wes, you teased America with the infamous FPI. It's never too early to talk football power index, especially in June.
Yeah. Well, and on June the 9th, by the way, we're doing this. Right?
Like I said, 86 days from kickoff. 86 days for ACC kickoff.
All right. First of all, Clemson has just an enormous percentage to not only their FPI is number one. They have an 81% chance to make the playoff. 81, Pac? That seems a little strong, doesn't it?
I thought it'd be higher. Again, thought it'd be higher, Wes. I thought it'd be higher. I mean, that's 19%. All right. 19% not to make the playoff. I thought it'd be higher in June.
Okay. North Carolina. We're moving on.
Go ahead.
North Carolina. Now, here's where I'm not quite sure how all this works, right? In the FBI world, which I don't claim to know.
Right.
Right. Was it, didn't we run something before somewhere, like in one of our Q series, where Virginia Tech was the FBI favorite to win the Coastal?
Yes.
Okay. We did run that, right? We ran that Virginia Tech was the favorite.
No doubt.
North Carolina now has, FPI says North Carolina has a 34% chance to win the division. Have we conducted something in between the Virginia Tech thing and the North Carolina thing to change things?
Magic is happening, Wes, right before your very eyes. I have asked many big timers at ESPN to explain the FPI to me, and I don't know what's going on. But nevertheless, Those four or five teams right there, again, I put Clemson on a different stratosphere right now versus everybody else. But Virginia Tech, Louisville is a team to keep an eye on. Florida State, North Carolina, my question to you would be, where's Miami in the mix, right? I mean, what teams are going to emerge in this league from a national perspective in terms of credibility? And you're looking at them right there. And I'd throw Miami in that list, even though I don't know where they are in the FBI. But nevertheless, that's what it is. But Virginia Tech's getting a ton of love
Pack.
With everybody coming back, Wes. That's how that works.
Virginia Tech, by the way, has a 49.1% chance to win the Coastal. So Carolina's 34, Virginia Tech is 49. So I'm not crazy, by the way. Here's the part about Miami. Okay, let me just go to this on Miami. Miami lost to Florida International, Duke, and Louisiana Tech to end the season, Pack.
Last year, Wes.
Those three straight losses.
I don't care. It's last year. We got a new quarterback in Miami. Have you heard?
Yes. Yes, I have.
The FBI, Wes, we could analyze this till the cows come home. Nobody has seen anybody practice or play. Man, we've barely seen spring football, for crying out loud. So, I mean, all these numbers, I mean, have fun with it. I'm not going to go too crazy one way or the other, whether you're ranked number one in the country, number 130. I mean, there's just so many unknowns. By the way, here's Mr. King rocking and rolling. You know Manny Diaz. Glad to see him. Again, I mean, I don't know what the answer
absolutely.
To any of this is.
Well, I think it's fun to do this on June the 9th. And by the way, the whole Virginia Tech Carolina thing obviously gets settled when the Hokies come to Chapel Hill in the Coastal. If all things, you know, are even, we'll get a great ball game that weekend in the Coastal for sure. I agree with you about Florida State and Louisville being the contenders behind Clemson. The order there, I think, is going to be interesting. But, you know,
Wow. I think Wes just froze. I think the FBI, I think the F in FBI is for froze. Again, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Miami, in my opinion, they will be the ones hunting it down in the Coastal. Well, that's no disrespect to a team like Pittsburgh that nobody ever seems to talk about with that great defensive line. Virginia, the defenders in the crazy Coastal Division. Bronco lost some pieces, but you know what? He's recruited well. They'll have something to say. And David Cutcliffe with the new quarterback. We want Mr. Bryce in town. You know what? David Cutcliffe's going to coach him up, too. So Georgia Tech, too. You know what? Jeff Collins, second year. They will certainly be better than the year before. Whether or not they can be a factor in the Coastal, time will tell with all that stuff.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.